Good morning. So this morning we are reading from 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 9 to 15. And we're covering the subject of areas to grow in. And this is the last of your physical earth suit general needs, right? So, one of the problems we have is we see everything physically around us, we smell everything, we like different things, we walk into different places, we're looking at things with our eyes. Sometimes we touch things and we like the touch of something. Sometimes we appreciate the curves of a particular vase or the way things look. There are so many things that we appreciate from a physical perspective, right? But where do we get those appreciations from? So, for example, one of the challenges that many, many women face is that the world has taught men what a beautiful woman is supposed to look like. And they have made pictures. They've taken models. They've taught them how to walk. They've taught them how to be sensual in their ways, etc. They've taught them all these different things. And what they've really said to the woman is, if you don't meet this standard, you are not good enough. Nowhere in God's creation is anything a copy of something else. Everything is unique. Everything is beautiful in its uniqueness. And it's that which we actually need to be looking at. Every single woman is perfectly fine the way God has created them. Now, does that mean that we need to just not pay attention to ourselves and allow ourselves to, you know, just get onto all the wrong kind of sizes and shapes and all the rest of it? No, but does it also mean that we've got in our strive to be this perfectly Barbie type person, which is slim and the right sizes? And no, you've got to be you. You've got to be you. You can't be somebody else. Now, they haven't just done it with women. They've done it to men too. Now, if you don't have a six-pack set of muscles, you're in trouble. There's something wrong with you. If you're overweight, well, you know what? You don't fit the bill. You know, you don't fit in. You're not what we want people to look like. And there are just so many things like that that make us feel like we're not good enough. God never does that. God never does that. God looks at your heart. He doesn't look at the earth suit that you've got. Sure, you need to take care of your earth suit. But many people go on a binge of eating or a binge of drinking or a binge of this, that, the next thing and become addicted because they feel like they're not good enough. That's just so wrong. That's just so wrong. And so you have society which will enforce these things. You know, you walk into a typical clothing shop. All the models look the same. They're all slim and trim and all the rest of it. Most of them, you know, you wonder whether or not the people have eating disorders, right? It's just not a normality. And this shows you just how powerful society's social environment can be. It takes a person to give their heart to Jesus to be able to then turn around and say, listen, the important part of me is inside. What you see on the outside is really just my earth suit. And it's not that important. I don't have to be this perfect person. I don't have to have the perfect complexion. I don't need to wear so many different kinds of makeup and to be beautiful. God made me beautiful just the way I am. I'm always surprised when I see, for example, people coming back from a camp. They haven't put makeup on. Boy, they are just, they themselves. And you know what? They're so beautiful. You never get to see the real beauty of a person because it's so covered up in makeup. And it's the same kind of thing as what people do with their own lives. They cover themselves up with makeup. They pretend to be things that they're not. And the worst kind of makeup is where you pretend to be a different kind of person. You change your personality because you're trying to be something that other people will accept. Now stop doing that. God made you perfectly well. Don't worry about it. It's an earth suit. And your personality is going through growth phases. Of course you're going to change. Of course you're going to go through phases where, you know, puberty might give you tons of emotional and hormonal things that take place. Of course. There's nothing wrong with that. It's quite normal. Don't be concerned about it. Don't try and compare yourself to other people. Now, what will society do? Society will compare you according to what society says is the norm. Well, you really don't want to be the norm. You really just want to be you. And you absolutely do not want to be the norm so that other people can find you and so-called fall in love with you, the norm. And now for the rest of your life, you have to try to be this person that you pretended to be when you met them. Far better that you're just yourself. And the right person will find you because they're looking for that person. They're not looking for somebody that you're pretending to be. And you're going to wind up with the wrong person because you're pretending. You're going to wind up with the wrong crowds because you're pretending. You won't find that right person for you because you are in the wrong crowd, because you're pretending. Well, this is where you run into a problem, right? Because who are you? Sometimes you've been pretending for so long that you don't know who you really are anymore. And so you look around you and you look at the things you have, the things that you wear, the things that you do, the things that you watch, and you look around your house, your room, and you have various memorabilia, you know, items, artifacts, things that you have from different things that you've been to, places you've been to, gifts you've been given by people who may or may not ever have known the real you. You've got all of these different things around you telling you who you are supposed to be. Okay. And somewhere, hopefully it's open next to your bed, but it might be in a bookshelf. It might just be on your phone, which is dangerous because they're changing them all the time. So you should try and get a printed version that can't get changed. And if you can do that, try and get an old King James version. I wouldn't get the new King James version. Get the old one. Holy Spirit will teach you how to read it. And use that. But that tells you who you really, really are. And it tells you what you're not. Using that information, you can look around you. You can look at everything you've got. And you can say, no, that's not good. That's not good. Oh, that's definitely not good. That skull and death thing on my t-shirt. No, that's not from God. That doesn't speak life. Oh, these symbols, well, they're definitely symbols of the occult. That's definitely not me. That's not what God is. That's not the real me that God created. And so many other things. Now, that's when you do two things. You go and you just go through from the top of your top part of your cupboard and you clean out everything all the way to underneath the bed. You take out your drawers, you empty them, you look at your drawers, especially look underneath your drawers for symbols and all sorts of things like that. Don't just paint over stuff, scratch it away. Remove it, because paint doesn't hide anything that's spiritual. If you have to throw something away or break it, do that. Get rid of those things that God says are not of Him, which means it won't be of you. And yes, you will have gifts from people. Well, you can have a gift from the person that speaks of a person that God doesn't know. Because remember, God knows the real you. When God is coming back, He's not coming back for the person that you're pretending to be. He's coming back for the real you. And you need to take a step out of this person you're pretending to be and this person you feel society is forcing you into being. And you need to discover yourself again. And in discovering yourself, you're actually growing into the person you really are. And at the same time, you will also experience that you're losing this pressure from the world. And you may not have the people who you used to having accept you anymore, but you will certainly have the Lord's acceptance, and you will have acceptance from your brothers and sisters in Christ. And yeah, you'll even have things that you've done with your body that you really shouldn't have done. And you can take that to the Lord and you can say, okay, well, you know what? I'm getting rid of this. I'm getting rid of that because that's not me. That's not me. I have this thing on me. I'm going to take that off. And yes, it might cost me some money to take it off, but I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. But when we read this section, right. So the backstory of this is we know that at this point in time, Israel and Judah have separated, right? And Judah is one of the tribes and Israel is the other 11. Okay? But Israel has definitely gone down the wrong routes. And at this point in time, Jeroboam, who is a really bad king, is ruling over Israel. Now, Asa. So, Solomon was a good king who went really bad, right? He eventually got into so much idol worship through all the women that he was marrying from all over the world. He brought all the idolatry into Israel. And so, when Solomon died, Rehoboam takes over. And Rehoboam was really part of Solomon's problem. So Rehoboam took after all of Solomon's same idolatry, bringing into the land all sorts of evils that should never have been there, right? Now at the same time, Jeroboam is now ruling in Israel, right? So Abijam, who's the son of Rehoboam, he takes over and he rules, right? And he continued with all the things that his father had been doing, all the evil stuff, right? And his mother's name was Maacah, right? And eventually Abijam, after his rule, he dies. God keeps him alive because he had made David a promise, right? That he would keep one of his descendants on the throne. Now, at that point, Abijam dies. Abijam has a son called Asa, also from the mother Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom, right? Same mother. And Asa was doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord, right? So we pick up in verse 9. Okay, sorry. Lord wants me to start from verse 12. Forwards or backwards, Lord? Forwards. Okay. And he, this is Asa, right? And he took away the Sodomites out of the land. Now, what is a Sodomite? A Sodomite is somebody who basically believes that God has made a terrible mistake. Not only that God has made a terrible mistake, but wants nothing really to do with God. In the sense that they don't want to have the created being God made for them. They want to allow the spirits that operate to use their bodies to be involved with their same sex. Right? Now, we know what sodomite is or sodomy is in today's world. In today's world, sodomy is males having sex with males. Okay? Obviously, that's perversion, right? Perverting what God created. But in those days, sodomy wasn't just the men with men. It also included the women with women. Right? We've split it out and we've got all sorts of things like LGBTQ, whatever else letters you want to add in, but it's all to do the same thing. Right? It's all just sodomy. And what is this? This is when a spirit, and I know because I was possessed, so I know how these things work, and I know people say, oh, I was born this way. No, you were not. No, you were not. You were inhabited by a spirit, and that spirit is confusing you. If you're a Christian, you can tell that spirit, in the name of Jesus, leave me, and you can turn your heart towards what God created you for. Right? Relationship with the opposite sex. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers, so not just his father, who was Abijam, but Rehoboam too, and Solomon. So you can imagine Solomon was the wisest and richest king. Here's Asa, he's going, and he's going and he's getting all these rich, amazing, beautiful idols of things that Solomon had. Right? He's not keeping it saying, oh, these are beautiful archaeological finds and we've got to keep this or whatever. No. If it doesn't belong in what God says should exist, he took it away. He removed it. Right? Now, he goes a step further, because if you look back at the history here, Abijam's mother was Maaka. Abijam was Asa's father. But Asa's mother was also Maaka. So Abijam slept with his mother. His mother gave birth to Asa. Now you would think, oh my goodness, this child must be a reject. It's born from a terrible relationship. Should never have had a relationship where the son and the mother created a child. And that child was Asa, right? Asa doesn't let that bother him. He doesn't let the way the Lord allowed him to be on earth affect him. He still sticks with the Lord. Okay, let's start from the beginning now. And in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel. So remember, Israel and Judah had split, right? So while Jeroboam was king of Israel, Asa is going to take over Judah. And in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. And 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem. and his mother's name, Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And Asa did right in the eyes of the Lord, as David his father. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land, and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. And also Maacah, his mother, even her he removed from queen, because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa destroyed her idol, and burnt by the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. What is the high places? So what people used to do when they were worshipping in their other religions and all the rest of it, because remember, Solomon brought lots of people from so many different religions and everything into his realm because he had himself married into people of these different religions, right? And so he had so many different kinds of people there. After Asa had gotten rid of these things, they weren't worshipping around Jerusalem close by. They were worshipping in the mountain crags and things like that, you know, in the mountainous areas away from the people. That's what's called the high places, right? So although he does not destroy the high places, leaves those, he certainly destroys everything around Jerusalem. Everything where God had made a covenant that his name would be there. It's the same battle going on today in this world. This world hates the fact that God has a covenant with that piece of land. Right? And by extension, every one of us who believe, right? And of course, Jesus was crucified for us just outside of Jerusalem in that same piece of land, right? But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days, and he brought in the things which his father had dedicated, and the things which himself had dedicated into the house of the Lord, silver and gold and vessels. Now, notice something interesting here. Asa keeps some of the things which his father had dedicated, and the things which himself had dedicated into the house of the Lord, silver and gold and vessels. Right. When you dedicate something to the Lord, it is His. It's for His purposes. It's not for yours anymore. It belongs to the Lord, right? That's why when you dedicate a child, that child now belongs to the Lord. You've dedicated them the same way as Samuel was dedicated by Hannah to the work of the Lord, right? And so, when you look at this dedication process, it really is a case of, God, this is not for me. This is yours. Now, you can't dedicate something to the Lord if it's an idol, if it's something that's being worshipped by some religion somewhere. Some people say, oh, I'm going to dedicate my dream catcher. You can't do that. That is a symbol of worship that is done in various other kinds of tribes and things like that. By the way, dream catchers will absolutely mess up your life. Spiritually speaking, they are allowed to do so many things in you. You don't want that. Get rid of dream catchers. If you got them, get rid of them. They've got nothing to do with Jesus, right? And look at everything that you got. If it's related to some other religion somewhere, get rid of it. If it's related to some other religion somewhere, get rid of it. Those are idols. Even if you're not the one worshipping it, if it's an idol in another religion, get rid of it. It's like people, they have this little Buddha there and they say, oh no, it's just a Buddha statue. Well, is that something Jesus would have? No, it isn't. Well, then why have you got it? Oh, because so-and-so gave it to me. Get rid of it. That's not you. That's who the other person either thought you were or wanted you to be. But it's not you. You need to get back to being you. And that means getting rid of all these other things, right? Now, if something was dedicated to the Lord and then given to you, that you can keep. But this is now where you've got a problem. You can easily start collecting items that you are now going to be using as a shrine. You're going to create this little physical temple of what's going on. That's not what Jesus is asking you to do. The physical things of this world are physical. But if you dedicate something to the Lord, it's no good it sits in your cupboard or in some shrine place. If you dedicate something to the Lord, it must be something that the Lord can use. Right? Don't keep it as an idol. You can get into big trouble. Satan has done that to people in the past. You know, the brass serpent that Moses lifted up? That became a snare and an idol. They had to destroy the thing because people were worshipping that and not God. So don't keep things like that. If it's dedicated to the Lord, put it to use. If you cannot use it, right, then you need to ask the Lord, what does he want to do with it? It's his now. You've given it to him. He may even say, I want you to give it to some other people, or I want you to sell it and give the money to poor or whatever. Once you dedicate something, if you then sell it, that money is holy. Use it for holy purposes. Don't go spend it on sweets and things. And he brought in the things which his father had dedicated and the things which himself had dedicated into the house of the Lord, silver and gold and vessels. Now, where is the house of the Lord today? Well, Christians are all over the place, right? Even when there will be a temple in Jerusalem, the house of the Lord will be in your heart. So the real question is, what have you brought into your heart? What have you dedicated and brought into your heart? Hopefully, a lot of the Word of God. Hopefully, a lot of the good things that you are doing for people. And hopefully, you're cleaning out of your heart all those things that do not belong there. And you do that by giving them to Jesus as well. That terrible thing that you did once that nobody knows about, but gee, if anyone did, you would be in such terrible trouble. That thing, give it to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm giving this to you. I don't want it in here anymore. I'm letting go of it. Please forgive me. I'm sorry that I ever did that. God knows how we get influenced by spirits. He knows that. He just doesn't want you holding on to something when you're not supposed to. Satan wants you to hold it so that he can beat you over the head with it all the time. But it's not yours. Jesus died to keep it. It's his. And he'll take it away and destroy it. And he will forgive you. So all of these things that we've discussed so far, what's the purpose of this? What is the purpose of this? It's simple. You need to grow back into what and who you really are. Who God really made you to be. You might have to move place that you stay. You might have to change your friendships. You will have to be honest with your partners. And say, look, I know that this is how I was then, but that's not the real me. Can I introduce you to the real me? And if you really don't like me after you find out who the real me is, then, well, then so be it. Right? Be honest. This will give you such peace. You'll have such rest and so little pressure anymore. Satan will lose so many things that he's holding over your head and trying to force you into stuff. You will have the sense of belonging and peace and joy because you are finally who you really were. You're not, as so many parents have done, influenced by Satan, yes, to tell their children, no, they're not a boy, they're actually a girl. And that child lives with such a shattered life as a consequence of what their parents did. And it, you know what? Parents can make some horrific mistakes. But you don't have to let that be you. You can go and say, I need to change back to who I'm supposed to be. Who God made me to be. And understand that we're in a massive spiritual battle. People are influenced by spirits the way horses are influenced by their riders. Very often, the horses go into places they don't want to go, but their rider is urging them on to do that. Spirits do the same thing with people. And they're far more superior spiritually than people are. Until that person accepts Jesus. And Jesus gives them a new spirit. A spirit those spirits can't mess with. Unless they choose to allow their earth suit to rule over them, the spirit. So you need to grow into who you really are. Well, guys, not sure what Holy Spirit has been speaking to you about, but if you're following along with us in the handbook, then write down your keywords in second column and score yourself in the right. And remember, sometimes keywords need to be coded a bit so that you know what it means and people who might come across your notes are not going to know what it means, right? This is not for other people to see. You can't compare notes. You can't compare scores. Because everyone is coming from a different perspective in towards the center where Jesus is. Well, guys, God bless and have an absolutely beautiful day.